a good guy.
Right, because he's there for the kiddos. He's there to appease that demographic.
Right, and I understand that. But the thing is that, like, James Storm, for instance. Mm-hmm. Our kids loved James Storm.
Right.
Okay? They turned into a bad guy. And what I like about them is that it's sometimes. I can see a lot of it before it happens. But sometimes, there are times you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. Like, yeah. For them to turn on him. And WWE, it's not like that. Like, it's not, I don't know. I don't like it.
It's like what, though?
It's just, you know everything before it happens. Like, I don't even have to watch it. And I can tell you, extremely predictable. And TNA is too, to a point. But at least it's a more believable prediction than the other. Like, you know who's going to screw who over. Mm-hmm. And right when they do it, every single time in WWE. Like I said, I do not have to watch a full episode of it. I can watch half of it and tell you exactly what's going to happen. Because it is that predictable.
So do you think, like, the James Storm turning on Gunner last year when they were on that UK tour, that was less predictable than Seth Rollins turning on the Shield and hitting Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns with a chair?
The James Storm thing, to be really honest with you, I didn't see why they let him turn on Gunner at that point, because I think they should have done it later on for something that was bigger, right. A bigger of a deal. I guess, kind of like, Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett, their deal that they had was a lot more believable because he married Kurt's ex-wife.
Right, Karen, yeah.
Yes, and so him turning, I mean, like, them turning on each other, that was understandable. And even Anderson turning on Kurt Angle, they didn't have a group name or whatever at the time, but when Aces and Eights were out. Yeah, when he turned into Aces and Eights, like, that was believable because they had screwed him over. Right. Like, they kept telling him he was going to have a title shot and this and this and this, and he got tired of trying to play by the rules. Like, I get that.
Well, that and the Aces and Eights actually wooed him and made him feel valuable.
Right. So I get all that. But, okay, at WWE, I cannot remember that guy's name. He always bragged about he had the longest reign and blah, 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 blah.
CM Punk?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, he was a total douchebag. Like, I hated him.
Yeah.
And I know he was playing a character, but I hated him. Like, I didn't even want him on the TV because he was a dick.
Right.
Like, everything he said, everything he did, he was a dick. And for them to turn him back into a good guy when he lost was stupid to me.
Right.
Because why would he be a good guy because he lost? You know, like, God, I can't remember all their names. I know who they are.
Bobby Roode?
Yes. Like, Bobby Roode. When he lost his title, he was still a dick. Yeah, like, he still was doing whatever he could to get his title back.
Yeah.
He started, him and Austin Aries tag team together because they both wanted the same thing, and they kind of got close, but not enough to where they wouldn't turn their backs on each other.
Oh, yeah.
But that, all of that is more believable to me than WWE's anything. The whole thing with whatever you just said, I don't know anything about that stuff. It's just a known fact all over the world. If anybody watches superhero movies or any kind of movie at all, bad guys usually will turn on each other.
Right.
Even in jail, like in real life, they'll turn on each other. So that's not really it's not that it's not real life that it couldn't happen, but it's more of a, well, duh. Like, you didn't see that coming. Like, they were going to turn on each other eventually.
They're all dickheads. They're going to do that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the storylines in TNA are a lot better. There are some of them, like I said, that
there's some
deal
of them
with.
That are ridiculous. Yes. And like, with the EY and Bobby Roode one that they're doing now.
It's annoying.
Exactly. It should have had a whole lot more personal animosity in it, considering that they were best friends and went through Team Canada and grew up in TNA together, but it didn't feel like they had that. But with Magnus and Bram and Mickie James right now, that feels like it does have it. It's essentially the same storyline of best friends turning on one another. Ew, that's gross. Best friends turning on each other, but because of the real life implications that they're using with Magnus and Bram, it gives more animosity to it. That's the realism that you're talking about, right?
Because it makes their matches and stuff more believable. Like, when they fight, you can tell they really want to rip their throats out.
Magnus powerbombed Bram on the steps, or on the ramp.
Well, Yeah, I mean, like, because in real life, when someone screws you over, you want to go kick their ass, but you can't, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, not everybody can anyway.
If you don't want to go to jail, it's probably a good right. idea.
But in real life, if someone screws you over, your automatic instinct is, I'm going to get them back and I'm going to kick their ass and they're not going to screw me over again. Like, I'll kill them if I have to.
Right.
They portray that in DNA. When they screw each other over, they portray that in DNA pretty well most of the time. There are times that, like, the storyline sucks. But a lot of the time, a lot of it is more believable, especially with the whole, when it comes down to them fighting. They're, the wrestling in that, even though I'm not a wrestling fan, I actually enjoyed watching TNA because, I mean, it looked a lot more real than what WWE does.
I well,
mean,
I think WWE does that little step-by-step. Their choreographed matches are so...
It's like they're reading it off a card.
Exactly. Like they know the script step by step, and that's right. how they accomplish it.
And that's why it drives me crazy. Right. I can't stand
but
that.
But in TNA, you don't feel that way when you watch them. That's why I say that their wrestling is one of their most believable parts of their show. That's one of their biggest selling points.
I know, and it is, because that's what made me want to start watching it, was that. But their storylines, I haven't at all. I can tell you, with all the time that you've been watching wrestling, I haven't at all got hooked on anything that was on WWE right. at all. Like, to where I was like,
but
oh,
you haven't
to
watched
look.
You haven't watched like the NXT stuff either though.
It doesn't matter.
But I guarantee if I let you watch NXT, you would be more into it, because they that X Division style that you were really big
on. I know. I did watch some of that because you asked me to and I watched it. And yes, their wrestling and stuff, they're good. But that's the thing though, is that a lot of the X Division and the NXT stuff, whatever, they don't really have a lot of a storyline, because they're more about, hey, I want to get a title match. Like, I want to be a world champion. I don't want to just stay where I am. Like Austin Aries, for instance, mm-hmm. he didn't want to just stay in the X Division. He wanted a world series or a world championship, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're, it's like a college football and NFL.
Right.
Okay. They're striving to get somewhere. Like, they're busting their ass, working their ass off to prove to the scouts and to the NFL that they are good enough to make it.
Right.
When they get to the NFL, they don't care anymore. They're like, I know I'm good. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, they're playing for money instead of playing for a spot.
Right. Which is what the way that I look at the X Division versus the...
The world heavyweight. Yes,
and the NXT and whatever. They're good. But the thing is, why I stopped watching TNA with you is because Dixie Carter is a psychopath. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing. And whoever they fired, regardless of if it goes Eric Bischoff or not, they fired the wrong people.
Right.
Like, they got rid of good people that they should have kept on, that they should have... kept a storyline with, and brought in stupid people.
Fake wreckage. 1, 2, 1, 2.
1, 2, 1, 2. Mr. DRG, the one and only from the AWWIR all the way to the DSJMP. And you heard an interesting opening, a very interesting opening. See, that was a conversation that I had with my wife not too long ago that I felt like I wanted to incorporate on the podcast. One of the main reasons why is because she was not the type of wrestling fan that grew up watching it with as much passion and fervor as I did. She didn't grow up seeing such old school things as the USWA or WCCW. She didn't know about the Monday Night Wars. Her first experience into wrestling was from about 2011, 2012 on through. And what's very interesting to me is the way that she looks at TNA versus WWE. For people like us who are long-term fans, you know, I do compare WWE's storytelling abilities to that which WCW did, because I grew up through that time period. But being somebody that is a casual that doesn't necessarily know that, somebody in the new age that doesn't know the history of it, and letting them just sit down and watch it with their own experiences, sometimes people might not necessarily enjoy the WWE's art of storytelling as much as we do. And it's strange because that's every time that I think of a casual fan, I always think that they are more willing to buy into WWE stuff because it is more dramatic. It is more emotional. It's less of the in-ring prowess and more of the ability to tell a story. So to hear a casual fan take it the way that she does, to where something like TNA is more interesting to her than what WWE is, it's just, it's shocking to me. And that's one of the reasons why I kept poking and prodding during that. And she doesn't know that she was recorded, so if she ever gets to hear it, she's going to be pissed off at me. But I don't care. I love getting her opinion on stuff because she is my gauge for when I start getting way too smarky and way too, I'm uppity uppity, I know everything, like we all tend to do. She kind of grounds me in it and allows me to think from that perspective of somebody that hasn't watched this sport or this art form or whatever you want to call it for 25 years plus like I have. So very cool. I just wanted to share that with y'all. But for the topics on the docket today, we're going to try to keep this a little bit shorter than most. I want to talk about Impact this week because I think they did a really, really good job of putting on a good show. They made me really enjoy the heel EY character. This has been something that I have been pushing as if EY ever goes heel again and they give him a chance to go full into it, he will impress people. And this is what I'm talking about. It's not just the changing up the hairdo and his ring attire. It's the attitude, the immense diving into this character that he does with every character. It doesn't matter if it's comedy, doesn't matter if it's the hero, the good guy. He goes all into any character that they give him. So much so that when they had the Don't Fire Eric gimmick and he was coming out with pyro, he was falling down on his ass because it was scaring him shitless because he was afraid he was going to get fired for anything he did. That's just how Eric Young is. I love the touches that they're doing. I like the fact that he's claiming that everything for the World Heavyweight Championship goes through him. It's a nice touch, a nice way to carry on from the time that he lost it to him attacking Bobby Roode and preventing him from having it to where he is now by challenging Kurt. Very interested to see where they go with this Healy Watt character. And I think that ultimately he is a good foil to go up against Kurt Angle right now. I like it. Very good idea. But they also had several other things. This Eli Drake, and I know Kata is not a fan of the name. I honestly do not mind because I like the name Drake. It always reminds me of Drake Younger, not the hip-hop rapper. But the Eli just, it's something unique. It's something different for Sean Ricker, who was very impressive this week. Not to mention how good Micah looked in the ring. I love that they referenced him as the son of Haku, which is something that I do not believe that WWE dove really big into. But I think TNA might play into that a little bit more. But there's a problem that I have with fans. I honestly, absolutely honestly hate two chants more than anything else. And I'm not going to say CM Punk, so Vamp, don't get your panties in a wad. I'm going to say the This Is Wrestling chant and This Is Awesome. Those are two chants that I could live without hearing. One of the reasons why is because when you start chanting This Is Awesome in a match 2 minutes into it, you're kind of losing the point of why you're chanting This Is Awesome. It's supposed to be that capturing that moment of a match that's just breathtaking. And I'm sorry, but I have never seen a match where the first 2 minutes were absolutely breathtaking and I would chant This Is Awesome. And that includes New Japan and Super J Cup tournaments and crazy spot fest. It includes all of them. It just, that's not something that I think fans should be chanting that early into a match. And then This Is Wrestling. Seriously, guys,
it comes across as one of the smarkiest chants of all, because you're trying to define what is and what is not wrestling when it's an art form. Art is subjective. There is no way for you to say that this one way of doing something, this right here, is the example of what wrestling is, because everybody sees it differently. Just like with my wife and how she views TNA wrestling versus WWE wrestling, it doesn't mean that WWE isn't still an art form. It isn't still wrestling. It just means that it's the type that she is not the biggest fan of. And I get that, because I'm not the biggest fan of WWE's Raw storylines. But I know people that aren't the biggest fans of TNA storylines or Lucha Underground. Everything is subjective in this, so you cannot take a chant and start telling people what is and what is not wrestling. It's not your right, never has been, never will be, because everybody interprets everything differently. That's just a small little rant, one of those little things that just irks me. And I get the CM Punk chants are things that piss people off, but for the most part, it's those little things like that that get to me. All right, guys, you hear the music in the background. See, it's time for me to pick up my food. It's time to grub out on some Mexicana. So I'm going to cut this one short. I'm going to chop it up and edit it so you can hear this little interview that I had with my wife. DRG saying that I hope to catch you down the road. Gone.